T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good day and welcome. We are broadcasting live out here in Eau Claire. We are at Wild Ridge Golf Course for the Junior Achievement Golf Outing again this year. Yes, I know. I've heard all the jokes. I've gotten every kind of comment you could possibly think of. We are one day away from 1 year ago as the program was knocked off the air by a bolt of lightning. And thank God we didn't do anything to Jerry Kramer, that's for sure, coming out of the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. But we're back, and we're glad to be back again this year. Radio Joe's and Zola producing the program back in our studios and kicking things off today out here with us. Carol Dale sitting here, former Green Bay Packer. How you been, buddy?
Doing fine.
Yeah? Doing well?
I make a par every now and then.
I was going to say, how's the golf game?
It's up and down, so yeah. It makes it exciting, yeah. You know, if you're out there making pars and birdies all the time. It'd be so boring.
Every year this time, once you start hitting training camp, and I know it was a lot different back in the days when you guys did it, but every now and then, guys I talk to say, you know, when it starts to get to training camp, I didn't miss training camp, but I miss getting back with the guys. Do you still get that, you know, man? Because you guys see each other a lot at different events and alumni outings and such, but every year this time, do you kind of go,
Yeah,
I miss that.
That's true. We don't miss. I think when you're in high school, you think it's Christmas coming when camp opens, and but you kind of get over that in a year or two. And then it becomes survival.
Right.
You just try to get through it, and of course they've made it a little more, I guess, tolerable now because no contact and maybe you know.
Very little
contact and maybe very little practice number,
You guys used to do two-a-days until you dropped.
Two-a-days, and people don't remember the, you know, part of the discipline was no water, which, you know, now they hydrate everybody, but we had to sneak around and steal ice out of a bucket when Coach Lombardi wasn't looking. Of course, he saw us, but it really, that was part of the tough man philosophy of
would you tell guys that now and say, you know, coach wouldn't let us have water,
they put you in jail.
I mean, just players today got to look at you like, are you kidding me? Is that what you guys had to do?
It's hard to remember that, but it was true. And I remember, especially in college, you know, we wore little sweatshirts under our pads, and you get cotton mouth so bad that you down there sucking that shirt trying to get just a little moisture and survival. So we're very fortunate we didn't have more casualties through heat prostration.
When you look back on your years with Coach Lombardi, we were sitting here the other night. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was talking about the great minds of the game. We talk about Bill Belichick and the success that they had, and the Packers have had a lot of success in recent history. But the mind, when you had a chance to listen to philosophically the mind of Coach Lombardi, that's something that's always amazed me, that the guys in the Lombardi era take that with them to this day.
Oh, yes. You often repeat some of the sayings, you know, like the harder I work, the luckier I become, or the luckier I am. All those sayings, they kind of come back, and especially in conversations with younger people and when you're asked questions and trying to help motivate them. And I think it was, you know, where he was so dedicated and focused on the success of the team, and he made every decision was for the team and had no personal feelings in it necessarily. And if you were on that roster and you were the best at that position, whatever he thought of you, you know, personally, it wouldn't affect his decision because you, the best person would be there. And he had an uncanny ability of, you know, putting those people together. And as you showed up for the game or to the team, in my case, where I was traded from the Los Angeles Rams and losing team, When I went to Green Bay, I was just thrilled to be there, and my expectation was to be on a winning team.
When you go from L.A. to Green Bay, that's culture shock, isn't it?
Yes.
Back then.
Yes, it was, but I was already had the culture shock in opposite color. I came from a small town in Virginia, and then a small college. We only had 5,000 enrollment at Virginia Tech. And the town was less than 5,000. And so as I went through Los Angeles, and the stores and everything were open 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And back in home, 10 o'clock, it's dark. everything's cut off.
I'm talking with Carol Dale of the Lombardi Green Bay Packers, sitting here with us at the Wild Ridge Golf Course out here in Eau Claire for the Junior Achievement Golf Outing. So, like you said, you pass along stories to younger people. You get a chance to talk to them. Is it hard to communicate philosophically to them today, or how is that, standing in front of a group of young eyes?
Well, I don't really know, but I can go from just from fan mail. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of, say, Packer fans that are young people. Mm-hmm. I've even got letters from 12, 13-year-old girls that have researched the Internet. And they'll write a letter and say, we're fans. And they'll send pictures or bubblegum cards or something.
Oh, that's awesome.
Get signed. And so you have a variety.
Yeah.
And so young people, if they're really fans, well, I think they respect the experience and success that we had during those, especially the three world champion run.
Do you consider Belichick and Brady the modern-day Lombardi and Stark?
Oh, yes. Okay. I have for several years, even until they've reached this point. So, because it's kind of the same atmosphere that it was here in Green Bay when Coach Lombardi was here. And the expectation, it seems like they can pick up anybody or trade for someone. And we might not have heard of them at that position. And they come in and they perform. And the expectation is to win. There's no lollygagging. And, it's either win or you're out of there.
Right.
And, going back Super Bowl a couple of years ago, what was the defensive back's name? Butler. That's the only thing I ever seen Belichick do that Lombardi would not have done. Even if he and Butler had been on opposite fields or poles,
right,
so to speak, game time, if he'd have been giving the team the best chance to win, he'd have been in there.
Right.
And then they'd have dealt with their differences off the field.
It's interesting because, philosophically speaking, I mean, Belichick has always adapted to what it is. The weakness, he wants to take away the best and then just kind of exploit the weaknesses. That was Lombardi. I mean, it was like, we're going to do this until you can't stop us. We're going to run to your weaknesses. The game itself, while it's become more complex and it's a quarterback's game and a passing game, really, the philosophically, it's still the same.
Right. Exactly. Because what you have to do is, in Lombardi philosophy, is take what they give you.
See, that's
when you're playing offense.
Right. Yeah. I keep saying that. I've said that for years.
Yeah. And it's simple.
They're going to give you a first down, just take it. You don't have to get everything in one play. I completely agree, yeah.
Right.
I don't know if that's an old-school way of thinking, but that seems to be, because there are times when I watched, at least with the offense prior to Matt LaFleur, was, third and two, and you got a five-yard cushion just to get the first down, get the 2 yards, live to fight another day, and then go. And you'll be throwing the ball 30 yards downfield for an incomplete pass, and fans are frustrated, and I'm sure you guys are frustrated watching it. You're going, what the heck are they doing?
Yeah. Exactly. So, if your offense is moving the ball, it occupies time, keeps that other offense off the field, and gives your defense a rest.
Yeah.
And so, balance, I guess, is what the coaches are after.
We're always looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say after the golf today. Any good stories? Paul Kaufman always lights it up. He always tells a few good stories.
Paul is very entertaining. Say the
You're
least.
Very kind.
Yeah. creative. Yeah. Not only Paul, but a lot of the guys. I mean, Jerry Kramer, great speaker.
He was here last year, yeah.
Yeah, and they all, Dave Robinson, they can enhance.
When Jerry finally got into the Hall of Fame, did a lot of guys that played with him kind of breathe a little easier and say, okay, finally?
Well, yeah, we were kind of happy they got in, so yeah, we could quit campaigning.
Yeah, well, that was just it. There was a lot of guys that were in his corner. I don't know what took so long.
Well, I don't either. When you got that number in, and it's like this year they're going to put in 10 seniors because of the anniversary.
Yeah.
But they're going back from day one.
Right.
And 10 guys will get in, and it'd be nice if Bart had a receiver in there.
Yeah.
And Boyd and Max were, I think, very deserving and playing for those years. So I was just thrilled to be in the Green Bay, to get traded to Green Bay and be able to spend 8 years here.
And great
fans and great state. And
before I let you go, I want to ask you, because I know everybody's getting together as Bart is going to be honored that alumni weekend. Give me your thoughts on Bart now that he's passed and things have settled.
Well, Boyd and I were the only teammates that were able to make it to his funeral in Birmingham, and we were there. And Aaron and Brett both came.
Mm-hmm.
So that was incredible, and they both had kind words to say. Bart was a guy that not only had he overachieved, as he said in his own words, he was able to be a leader, and he might have carried that leadership role a little too far because looking back, it'd been a lot better for him and the team if he'd stepped out of bounds instead of taking Bud Kassung head on,
right.
because we tried to tell him that, but he felt like that was showing lack of courage.
Right.
And so, he really was totally dedicated. Yet he would do anything for his teammates. When I first came to Green Bay, I had a wife and two kids and no place to stay. We were staying in a motel, and we had to get out of the Holiday Inn, or they did. And so Bart and Jerry took him in at his house for a couple of weeks till we found a place. That's kind of the way the guy was. But he was competitive. He'd stand his ground. If somebody in the huddle tried to get out of line, he'd straighten them up.
Yeah. He was the one thing that I can say about Bart, and I never knew him on the field, but from what everybody says and from what I've had the experience of, he was even a better person off the field.
Oh, definitely. I think that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, there's probably one of the everybody kept saying the classiest person you never want to meet. So
he definitely was, and he treated everybody with respect.
Yeah.
And he never had that air about him that he was above. Mm-hmm. Other people,
right?
He realized he was very grateful for what his success he'd had.
No doubt. Carol, go hit him straight.
Okay,
I'll talk to you after the fact, and then we'll kind of share rounds. Okay.
Okay. Good
there
to
you
see
go.
You again.
You too, buddy. There you
Bye-bye.
Go. Carol Dale joining us for a couple of minutes here at the table. We're at the Junior Achievement Golf Outing here at Wild Ridge Golf Course in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. We got a lot more coming up right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Peace up, A-Town.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. We're on the air. We are glad to have you. Broadcasting live from Wild Ridge Golf Course here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Thanks to our friends at Sports Talk 105.1 for having us out here. We're here for the Junior Achievement Golf Outing. And just enjoying. I mean, what a picture-perfect day. I put it up on Instagram and Facebook a little bit earlier today, and I said, okay, no clouds, no problem. Beautiful blue skies, 70 degrees, and I don't think you can ask for a much better day when it comes to golf. So, boy, they're going to have a good one out here today, without a doubt. Radio Joe Zanzola back in our studios. programming today. And as always, we always welcome you into the program as well. If you want to hit us up, you can. Simply go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That's BillMichaelsSports.com. And you can find us there. Shoot us an email. You can click on any of the links and get a hold of us. 855-830-8648. That's 855-830-8648. The Milwaukee Brewers. So the interesting yesterday, listening to that game, boy, it was back and forth. And listening to that game gave me I found my – look, this is the way it went down. Yesterday I'm listening to the game. I'm out driving around. I had a couple things I had to do yesterday and some meetings after I got off the air. And as they made the final out and the Brewers got the win and they came back to win that game, I found myself kind of nodding my head like, okay, they can do this. I don't necessarily think that the win over the Twins suddenly gave me some kind of – you know, oomph level of confidence, but it gave me, they bounced back from an ugly loss. They bounced back from one they should have had, and they took one. Jobermetrics used yesterday, by the way?
Yes, yesterday's game does fit the Jobermetrics
formula. I thought it did. I was thinking of you when I was listening to the end of that ball game when I was out running around. So that was one they probably should have taken into the L's, and they ended up turning it around and making it a W, correct?
Yes, you were down 5-3 in the eighth inning. The Trent Grisham home run was key into that, gave the
Huge.
Brewers the lead. Based on the Jobermetrics formula, that was a game the Brewers should have lost but ended up winning. I'll have that spreadsheet updated at some point, but go to BillMichaelsSports.com if you don't know, again, what the hell Jobermetrics is. There's a full, detailed explanation, and trust me, it's not like you're reading Chinese.
I found myself yesterday when they won that ball game, kind of nodding, thinking, "Okay, I think they can do this." Not necessarily in the fact that you know that they're some terrific team, but when you think about the young contributions they're getting of guys you didn't expect, I don't know if it's player development that's coming along that's changed in the last few years or 5 years or 10 years or what have you, but you look at a guy like Keston Hira, you talk about Grisham, you talk about some of the young guys that have come up, pitching has come up out of the minor league system and been better or sustainable. I remember days, you know, like Ben Sheets was kind of an anomaly. You bring up a lot of different guys, you know, the Nick Neugebauers of the world and such, guys that were supposed to come up and be really top-notch pitchers and just never materialized. And every time you heard about some new young prospect with an arm, they were a train wreck. And then you talk about some of the guys that were supposed to come up and they just never materialized. You're getting guys that are coming up in a pennant race and contributing. And it's the youth that's doing it as much as it is the veterans. And when that starts to happen and you start to get young guys that can come up, I mean, even for a short period of time last year, Tyler Saladino came up and played well. And then you get a guy like Grisham that comes up. Keston Hira comes up, even though defensively he's not great. We all know offensively he's terrific. But you start to look around. I mean, hell, you get Ben Gamel with options. He comes in and contributes. They have had this terrific mix where anybody they've really relied upon has kind of given them sustainability. It's not great. They're not the Dodgers. But yesterday was one of those, okay, they bounced back and they got that win. Now, again, you got to follow it up and you got to keep winning series if you're going to keep pace or overtake the Cubs. But it just, I think as a Brewers fan, maybe not the sports person in me, but just as a fan, I kind of found myself nodding going, I think they can do this. And I just wonder if anybody else felt the same after watching or listening to that game yesterday. Yesterday, if you were watching it, you were watching it on YouTube. It was a different experience yesterday. 855-830-8648. Do you believe, Joe, I mean, coming out of that series, and did that in any way change your mind, make you feel better, give you a sense of calm? Did it do anything for you?
Maybe just a little bit. I mean, I'm impressed with this Brewers team considering – all the injuries, all the bad pitching, the lack of offense, and they still find a way to stay above water. And if this team can find a way to stay above water for hopefully the next 3 weeks, when you start getting some of your key starting pitchers back, Now all of a sudden we're having a completely different conversation. Like I said, I said this last week, I'll say it again now. I do not feel as confident as I did a month ago with the Milwaukee Brewers making the postseason. And fortunately for them, it's still right there for the taking. You can still get a wild card spot. You still have a shot at the division based on the standings. It can all be there, but this Milwaukee Brewers team right now, to me, doesn't strike me as a team that should be even in the postseason because they're just so up and down. But at the end of the day, they are finding ways to stay above it. You know, they're finding ways. Yesterday's game is a perfect example of that. That's a game that the Brewers probably should have lost, and we're talking about a two-game sweep of the Twins. Instead, it goes the other way. You get a rally from one of your unsung heroes in Trent Grisham, who continues to hit the ball well, and here you are. You're playing over 500 baseball here. So it's, I don't feel fully confident that the Brewers are going to be there at the end of the day, but if they can sustain here in the next few weeks, Bill, and get some of these starters back, then I think we can have a different conversation about the Brewers.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm excited. I as much as I thought, and I shouldn't say this, but as much as I thought, is that going to be a turning point when they lost three straight to the Cubs? To me, it might have been a turning point when they bounced back, beat the Pirates, and then they kind of followed it up. They kept winning. So, and they did sustain a little adversity. I just think that they can do this. I think that they're going to be right there. I think it's going to be exciting from here on out. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Going to get back into some Packers chatter because we're going to talk with Mark Daniels from 101.9 FM and 1440 AM. Best call letters in all of radio, WNFL. They're in Green Bay. And we're going to follow Mark over on Twitter as well in case you want to do so. But we're going to talk to him coming up about what he's looking for coming out of tonight's ball game. We'll also go inside the Brewers Clubhouse coming up here in about 20 minutes from now. And then we'll get back into some phone calls, and we'll start talking about tonight's Packers-Baltimore Ravens game. We're broadcasting live out here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, which is where you can find us out here at the Wild Ridge Golf Course tonight for the Junior Achievement Golf Outing. And we're going to go ahead and, I'll shoot a few pictures out here, too, as I did earlier today for Instagram, because no clouds in the sky, all the jokes and everything. I got it. Okay, I'm good. We're all having a good time. Stay tuned. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We are back. Clear blue skies. Man, I got to say thanks to Dan Schumacher. He is the athletic director over at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. And stopped by. He was on our program a couple of years ago up here. Great guy. Really, you talk about dedication to building the program. He just came straight over from football practice. All the D3 schools, Platteville, Whitewater, lacrosse, I mean, you know, all of them are at football practice today. They're opening up their camps, getting ready for their season. And he just came over from football practice, found out we were in town, brought us a little gear, which is always great. I was telling him a story. We were at Super Bowl down in Atlanta, and I had on a UW Eau Claire blue gold pullover. I love pullovers, those quarter zips, man. I love those things. And he brought me one. And any athletic director that looks into it before they come to meet you and figure out, they can't just bring you an extra large. They always bring me a 2X. And anybody that just kind of looks into it to say, okay, I'm going to find out a little bit about this guy, and they all find out I'm 6'6 and about 275. And so he brings me some gear. And I was down at Super Bowl this past year, and a woman who went to UW Eau Claire, she's from Macon, Georgia, and came running over and couldn't believe that she found somebody standing on at Radio Row on the floor of Super Bowl wearing a UW Eau Claire, of all things, a UW Eau Claire pullover. So I was telling him that story. He's like, oh, my God, that's so cool. You know. So anyway, long story short is thanks to Dan Schumacher, the athletic director of UW Eau Claire. So good for him to stop by. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends over there at Cousin Subs. For 45 years, they've been grilling them up hot off the grill and serving you the best product with all the Wisconsin fixings, the cheeses, the lettuce, the tomatoes, everything that goes on those that fantastic bread. And do not forget about the Bill Michaels, the pepperoni melt, extra mayo, extra cheese. Oh, so good. There's a few meals that I would have before I went to the electric chair, and that would be one of them. Just saying. Just saying. Stop into our friends at Cousin Subs or check them out online. Go to CousinSubs.com. That's CousinSubs.com, and they may even deliver in your area as well. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Mark Daniels from WNFL in Green Bay, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Mark, how you been, buddy?
I'm good, Bill. How are you? Long time no chat.
I'm doing well. I've got a lot of anticipation for tonight. And I know preseason games, we usually yawn, but I want to see if Summers can follow it up. I'm looking forward to the starters and seeing what Aaron Rodgers does a little bit with this offense, a little more motion, a few more things added to it. And, you know, just I've got a lot of these little questions in my mind. What are you looking forward to tonight?
Yeah, I want to just see some clean offense. I mean, the first-team offense against the Packer defense has been really spotty at best. They've made some plays, but in competitive drills, be it 2 minute, move the ball, it's been a struggle. So, you know, I thought at times, you know, Kizer and Boyle were able to do some things with this offense. And, you know, the Kizer drive in the second quarter last week was really well executed. So, yeah, we keep hearing from LaFleur, it's a work in progress. And I tend to believe they're making a little progress, but I you know, now we got to see it out of the one. So I'm really interested in that. And there's a whole bunch of guys that, yeah, you mentioned Summers. I'm looking forward to seeing if they can stack successes like Darius Shepherd. And if he stacks successes, then I think Trevor Davis and Jamon Moore might be stacking boxes in a couple of weeks. So stuff like that will keep my attention.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. When it comes to the wide receiving position, if they keep four tight ends, are they only keeping six wide receivers in your opinion?
That's a big number, yeah. I mean, in the backfield, it's probably going to be three running backs and one fullback, I would think. So that could give them some flexibility to keep the extra tight end. And, you know, if you're going six wide receivers, you know, I just did a piece, you know, for, you know, my station up here, kind of a six-pack. It's what scouts do on a two or three times a week. They rank players one through six at every position. Then they debate who's moving up, who's moving down. And they do this exercise almost every other day. So my six wide receivers in a row were Adams. I have Kumerow second. He's just that good. MVS is third. I think I had, you know, Allison and Shepard, you know, four and five. And six is EQ. And, you know, and that leaves, you know, Jamon and Davis, you know, on the outside looking in. So six is probably a number that I think Matt LaFleur is going to really seriously consider.
Talking about Jamon Moore, I mean, I know people are quick to say, you know what, it's time to get rid of the experiment. Is it just that bad? I mean, you're talking about a guy that was really highly thought of coming out of the draft last year, that if they could just get him to get his hands on the ball a little bit more, he's tough to bring down after the catch, and he's got all the tools. But is this just where you can look at him and go, this guy can't catch the football?
Yeah, I mean, it gets to his hands. It just doesn't stay in his hands. You're right.
Yeah.
Well, he had a really good practice this week and flash, and everybody talked to him. Hey, Jamon, you know, this is it. You're making the surge now. But it might be too late. The inconsistencies are just too hard to overcome. You know, dropped a TD against Houston, caught a TD against Houston. So they just can't live with that, Bill. So, you know, they're going to look for more consistency. And unless he goes crazy the last couple of weeks and has a huge game tonight, he's in trouble.
So, defensively speaking, we're going to see a few more of the starters, but give me your thoughts right now on the depth at the linebacking position. I know that they talked about Oren Burks, and I know they kind of hope to get him back later this season, but, I mean, you talk about a torn pectoral muscle, or at least an alleged torn pectoral muscle. That's not anything you're going to recover from and be strong from anytime soon. So how bad are they right now? Do you think they're bringing in another middle linebacker once cutdown day happens?
No, I think that's a real possibility. Yeah, Burks is almost certainly going to make the 53 and then go immediately on IR, so we'll see him mid to late October. Bolton and Summers are the two next in line, and, you know, they're awfully green. Bolton has been working a lot with the one, so I think that's going to be a position that Goody looks really hard at once he sees the waiver wire in a couple weeks.
So defensively up front, guys we're looking forward to is Montrevious Adams. Can he step up? Obviously, the new guys, Preston Smith and Zadarius Smith, you talk about those guys coming into this situation. Dean Lowry, they're hoping to get more out of him even. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces to this, but how good do you think this defense can be?
They're good. They're giving LaFleur's, you know, whiz kid system all kinds of trouble. Every day at practice, Adarius Smith is unblockable. Even David Bakhtiari got beat twice on one-on-ones last week, and that got everybody's attention. I think Preston Smith is not quite as good as advertised. I was expecting a little more out of him, but he's certainly going to be in there. You know, Adams has made a big jump, and Lowry and Clark, I think, are solid. Kenny's verge of Pro Bowl. That front seven, outside of the inside backers, I think is going to be really, really formidable for the Packers. I think, you know, that's going to be the strength, and the way the young corners are getting their hands on balls in camp, that kind of pressure will lead to takeaways and some breakups. So that's where they're going to hang their hat, obviously, is really make the quarterbacks uncomfortable as soon as possible.
Talking to Mark Daniels from WNFL in Green Bay, our fine affiliate up there, and looking at offensively speaking now, I want to talk about the offensive line. Bakhtiari, if Bakhtiari goes down, because that's one of the biggest concerns I have, if he goes down, who is the guy that can fill the bill over there at the left tackle position?
That's not
a very confident giggle.
No. Yeah. Alex Light is the swing tackle. He's made a jump from year one to year two. They made Jason Spriggs expendable. Good Lord, a second-round guy that cost him a lower two and a four, and he flamed out fast. But Light is hanging in there. After that, boy, I'm not sure. You know, Light's been working primarily right side because they give Brian Bulaga a lot of old man rest in camp. So, and he's been okay. The front five, I'm fine. Keep them together. Keep them healthy. Harder, you know, it's easier said than done. Somebody's going to go down at some point. But, you know, Lucas Patrick, McCray, Elton Jenkins, I think are your three front runners for the backup positions. And so they're going to have to find somebody that can play tackle if worse comes to worse.
What about Cole Madison? Where is he at? Because I know when he came in and did the OTAs and mini camps, he looked really good before obviously taking off last season. How has he progressed?
He's kind of a mauler in there. A lot of mental errors, assignment errors, and things like that right now. They tried him at center. That was a disaster. I've never seen so many airmailed shotgun snaps. So he's just going to stay, I think, at a guard position. Perfect practice squad player, and I think he'll be fine with that. You know, he sat out a year, and now he's going to sit and learn a year, and I think that's fair.
Here's the big question, and I get asked this all the time, and we've talked about it. They really haven't done a lot to change the offense when it comes to personnel. We're hoping Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Geronimo Allison. I think Geronimo Allison, last year I was watching him in camp and coming into the season, I thought he had all the chops to really make a big step before he ended up getting hurt. So with all that and the weaponry that they have, everything's just coming back. How much better is this offense?
I think it can be okay. I think the X factor is Aaron Jones, to tell you the truth. If they do stay committed to the run, and he is as good as a one-cut guy and gets to the second level, he can be dangerous. But more importantly, I think Jones is going to be a 40 to 50 catch guy out of the backfield. He's going to be moving a lot. If you watch the Rams, they are shifting and motioning Gurley almost every snap. We're seeing plenty of that with Jones. I think he's going to be a really key piece to all of this. And if they can run the ball, I think they've got receivers that can win. Adams can win. I think Kumerow can win. And I still think Jimmy Graham can win. He made a fantastic play this week on a deep ball. And I think if they can wake him up and really get him productive, this offense is going to be good. I think it's going to take a while. Get ready for some low-scoring slugfest early in the season until these guys get oiled up. But I think in due time, I think there's a lot of creativity in LaFleur's plan. It has Rodgers engaged, and I think if they can execute it and be productive on the ground, it's going to open things up, and they can be pretty fun to watch.
Last question, and this is the one that everybody's been fielding, so I've saved it for last. But are you done talking about the Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, I mean, I'm so over it by now.
Yeah, it was a national guy that came in this week, and he brought it up after it's been brought up three or four times already in camp. Yeah, I'm done with it. Rodgers knows who the boss is. He knew who the boss was last year. He just didn't like the boss and was tired of the boss. But he understands who the boss is. And the next guy that asks him, how are you getting along with LaFleur, how are you communicating with LaFleur, is either going to get a broken camera, broken microphone, or a broken nose.
I wouldn't mind seeing that, I guess, the best way to put it.
I think Aaron is really ready for that. He bit his lip and tried to be funny about it, you know, the other day, and it's getting harder and harder for him to do that.
Always good stuff, Mark. Enjoy the game tonight. I look forward to talking to you throughout the season. Okay, pal?
All right. See you, Bill.
Appreciate it, man. There you go. Mark Daniels from WNFL in Green Bay joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You looking for a good company, a good team, good pay, somebody that's going to take care of you? That's Schneider. That's what they're doing. They're looking for good people right now. And I'll tell you what, it's very – I talk to many, many people in the trucking industry. It's getting harder and harder to find good quality people. And if you want to work for a good quality team, go to 1-800-844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com and see for yourself what they have to offer. When we come back, switching back over to Brewers, we're going to go inside the clubhouse. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show live in Eau Claire right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Let the good times roll. And I want these words to make things right. But it's the wrongs that make the words come to life.
In Eau Claire, Wisconsin. That's where we are broadcasting live today. Our friends at WAYY bringing us here for the Junior Achievement Golf Outing at Wild Ridge Golf Course. This portion of the program brought to you by Quick Trip. They're teaming up with Jack Lynx and giving away a brand new Chevy Silverado. If you're one lucky fan that wins this thing, it's a spectacular vehicle. Go into any Quick Trip and get yourself a Quick Rewards card. You can also download the app on your mobile device. No purchase necessary. See store for details. And by the way, today only the cheeseburger, the Angus cheeseburger, the spicy chicken sandwich, $2.19 a piece. In the meantime, we now take a look Brewers-wise going into the clubhouse. Grisham, man, he decked one last night. As a matter of fact, it was a second decker.
I really didn't see where it landed or didn't even know anything about that. It was just felt like it was getting out, so I took my eyes off of him and was cheering towards the dugout.
Trent Grisham, talking to the media after the game, said, look, they're just trying to compete right now.
I mean, we were competing the whole game. A bunch of good ABs everywhere. We were grinding out at bats, wearing down their pitchers. I mean, you could see the frustration on some of the bats and on their faces. So we're just doing it, and you keep looking up, and it's two-run game, three-run game. We're always within a swing. And then, I mean, just heady baseball playing, taking dirt ball reads, going long at bats, grinding down, and you just felt like something good had to happen.
By the way, I mean, Craig Counsell after the game kind of said what I said earlier today. You just talk about Grisham, you talk about here, you talk about the youth on this team and how they're contributing.
I mean, Trent's been outstanding since he's been here. He's done a fabulous job. And Keston continues to put together good at bats. And you know, look, we got two young players, two rookies hitting in the leadoff spot and hitting number four or number two in our lineup. So it's, they're making the most of it, and they've earned it, those spots.
Also yesterday, offense, as Craig Counsell alluded to, offense was pretty good.
I mean, we saw a ton of pitches today. We had a bunch of good at-bats. You know, again, we put runners on base a whole bunch all day. It felt a little bit similar to yesterday, and we had trouble breaking through. We took advantage of a mistake that they made, really, with a leadoff single by Braun, and then Hernan snuck a ball through because of that, because they were playing in a little different positioning. And then Trent had a great at-bat, and we had a bunch of guys with really good at-bats today, long at-bats, leadoff innings. Hernan here, at-bat by Grisham right there. So good stuff, good offense today for sure.
And the bullpen, including Ray Black, really solid. The bullpen overall has actually been playing, you know, pitching pretty well.
Look, our bullpen did a great job, and I think I want to highlight JJ. I thought his stuff was really good today. Split finger and curveball were really good. And then Junior Guerra, man, you know, and it goes unnoticed, but you pitch two scoreless innings in the seventh and the eighth. That keeps you in the game. But yeah, Ray's inning fit good, and that's why we had a fresh arm here is to get him here, and he did a nice job.
And then also the decision in a game like that not to use Josh Hader.
No, I didn't want to use him today. I'm just going to stay away from him. He'll be good to go on Friday, but I wanted to give him a day, and he'll be ready to go on Friday again.
But Gio Gonzalez, take a look at him.
You know, the mistakes and the home runs, solo shots, you know, against this team, that's probably, you know, you're okay if that's how your start goes. But I think that today the walk to the pitcher kind of set up that two-run inning that really cost him the trouble. So, Yeah, his command wasn't, what we've seen from him. He's kind of fighting back in the counts a lot and didn't get count advantage very often today. So chalk it up to not a great one from Gio today.
So not a great start, but had he not walked the pitcher, man, that he could have got out of that. It was so tough to watch. When we come back, I'm going to give you, you can react to what I have to say, because I'm going to give you my thoughts as to what I'm looking for tonight. See if it jives with what you're thinking, okay? Stay tuned. Broadcasting live at Wild Ridge Golf Course here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin for the Junior Achievement Golf Outing. More of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.